Staff and volunteers at CGSF wish you a jolly Christmas and a happy new year.
You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, British Columbia. We strive to provide perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media. If you'd like to know more about us, check out our website at cjsf.ca.
And wellness podcast that's meant for everyone, all of our friends and relatives. I am your host, Sahil Thit, aka Jerry Oldman. This is Teachings in the Air with Sahil Thit, coming to you from Musqueam Territory in what they now call Richmond, but it's actually Musqueam. Hunkaminam, speaking people of Musqueam. I'm coming today with a podcast. My producer said, hey, we should do one on nourishment, on food. And it's been on my mind because peace of mind, you know, we can get that by eating the right foods too. So the podcast today is called Food for the Soul. You know, indigenous people had soul food before contact, and they were healthy, very healthy people before contact. You know, I asked myself this question the other day. Am I eating to live or living to eat? And I said, and my answer was, I'm living to eat because I love food today. You know, before when I was unhealthy, I was eating to live, you know, didn't care what I eat. So that's what the podcast is about today. So I'll start out with Sahil Thit's journey in regards to food, to nourishment. And I was thinking this morning, I grew up with Chef Mom. You know, we see someone that cooks really well or they're trained, they're called chef. And so I grew up with Chef Mom, Chef Granny, Chef Aunties, because they were all seemed to be careful what they done with the food. I remember my granny was so in love with food, I'd bring her a sockeye salmon, and her tears would come from her eyes and a big smile, because she loved sockeye. And she, the way she even cleaned it, like she's treating it like reverence, like it's holy or something. You know, so I thought, I'll tell you about Chef Mom, Chef Granny, and Chef Aunties that cooked for me when I was a little boy. You know, and when I was remembering that, you know, there wasn't a lot of salt or sugar. You know, we're eating deer meat. They'd boil the bones and we get the marrow. There'd be fish heads, dry fish soup. There would be bannock, but mainly I remember it was like a corned bannock baked in the oven. So it wasn't fried. I used to love it when my granny come because she would make that kind of bannock. Sometimes my mother would pan fry it, but it was never deep fried that I had as a child. So that's what I grew up on. And when I think of it, I was never hungry in my home with my late mother and father. We always had enough food. And we all shared. And when I think of those times, I only ate what I needed. I just eat as much as I need. You know, and I think of that, oh, those were good times. I had energy. I felt part of the family. You know, we helped each other. We all done chores. So that food was food for our soul. Because remember, Sahil, it says in our spirit, and that spirit is good. We have this incredible will to live. We want to be here. We want to participate in life. We want to be successful at what we do. And we want to be kind. So when my mother nourished me with the food, that's the way I acted, plus the way they talked to us. They never struck us with their bare hand, never hit us with a fist or a slap or a kick or swear at us in that household. I was remembering that, reminiscing. So I call this podcast Food for the Soul, because I believe my mom and them were doing that. They were nourishing my soul. It was such happy, good memories. I could remember waking up in the morning and hear the blip, blip, blip of the mush boiling on the stove, and also the coffee that they're cooking for each other, for my mom and dad. It all smelled so good, you know, and it was, I guess you could say, like heaven, like paradise, you know, because of no hunger, no suffering, no pain in that household. It was good. So, you know, the good thing, or the thing to remember about Chef Mom, Chef Granny, and Chef Aunties, they loved the food. They loved what they'd have in front of them, and it showed when we ate it, it was so delicious. It was so filling. Like, we didn't need a lot to become full, you know, so it was, it is a good life, that life. It's a balanced diet. You know, and we ate what we needed. You know, and I didn't know hunger. And there was joy and laughter in the house. And I believe when I look back today, it's because of that food for the soul that my mother literally put love into that food for her children and her husband. Now, Sahilthit, we'll go to Bing Jerry. Number 13 in residential school, and all of a sudden it's just like I'm parachuted into this other country. It's a big red brick building, and I remember it felt cold. Linoleum floors with cement under it, you know, and red bricks all around, and then we'd go eat. It's in the basement. We'd line up and we'd go. And I remember, and I seen the food. Didn't want to eat it. It didn't smell good. It didn't look good because they're cooking for hundreds of children. And they're cooking in these big pots. And I think back, I know those chefs. I don't even want to call them chefs. Those cooks didn't love the food. You know, because that's the first time in my life I knew hunger. Hunger pangs in my tummy. I was hungry. You know, that food had no taste to it. You know, when I started to feel that hunger, you know, and there seemed to be no answer, we're not going to get good food. And I remember we'd get a snack after school is out, and we'd all go there because we're hungry. And it would be what we call dog biscuits, or really hard biscuits. And I remember me and my fellow residential school attendees would mill around in the hall because we're hungry. Because you know how it is with teenagers? They get hungry. We were young teenagers, we're young boys, and we'd get hungry. And I can remember us sort of milling around in the hallway. I don't know if I was wishing something else would come, but when I look back, it wasn't a good feeling. It wasn't a good feeling. You know, that lack of food caused suffering on us. So when we got good food, you know, we'd steal it off each other, which was sad when I think about it. The older boys would come and take what we have. Then we started to want to raid the kitchen and steal, you know, ice cream and peanut butter, whatever we get our hands on. But the saddest part, you know, for me, it's all sad. I shouldn't use the word sad, the cruel part. Because we'd see them pushing this food into the dining room for the staff, the priests and nuns, other staff at work there. In the morning, it's bacon and eggs, you know, pancakes. We could smell that food. And here we are with our mush. It's not cooked properly, you know, and this powdered milk. And it wasn't a good time there with the food. No lunch was some kind of watery soup with maybe a cheese sandwich. And supper, I could barely remember the suppers. But we didn't look forward to it. We weren't running there to eat. Like when Mom would call me and I was a boy at home, you know, Shima, we, you know, Eichlin, you know, telling us it's time to eat. And we go eat. We'd run because we know it's going to be good food. So when I think about that experience, when there's no soul food for the children and the teenagers, we started to develop a failure to thrive syndrome. We weren't developing properly. I wasn't developing properly. I'm convinced of that today because of that place. My muscles probably didn't develop as good as they could be, or my brain, because food, you know, when we eat food, it goes all over our body. It becomes our body. So in that place also, we're ruled by fear. You make a mistake, you get punished. You know, so when you're living with anxiety, fear constantly, I'm pretty sure it affects how we digest food too. You know, so it wasn't a good experience, that place, in regards to nourishment. Because nourishment, you know, that when you're nourished, it feels so good. And nourishment can come from food, from good liquids like good water, you know, juice. And like real juice, orange juice, grapefruit juice, you know. It's got vitamins in it. You know, and so it was something for me to, when I think about it, because today I hate to waste food. I get a guilty feeling if I can't finish my plate. Because I remember that time at the residential school. It's after, you know, there we started to get introduced to pop and potato chips and candy bars. Because we didn't have that in my home on the res. We're semi-isolated, you know, and the store didn't have a lot of stuff. But we would get pop and chips to residential school when we could afford it. And that sweetness and that saltiness, that sugar and salt, I'm convinced it became an addiction. I want this. So we would share, we would do what we can to get pop and chips. There's what they call a commissary. And their brother would open it up, and if you have money, you can go buy those there. So in a way, that becomes like a comfort food. But it's so dangerous, you know, because there's side effects. Our teeth got impacted by salt and sugar. You know, our body, our skin. The teenagers, I started to develop pimples and things, you know, and my self-image was starting to take a beating. And I believe today part of that was because of the lack of good nourishment of healthy food. You know, food that's, you know, that deer meat and those fish and what we're eating, the berries, they were all natural foods, organic foods, no additives. We raised our own chickens, so we had our own eggs. You know, and that's all healthy food. It's good food. Good food for the soul and for the mind. And, you know, and then you start to throw in, as I got older, we got introduced to alcohol, and that became our liquid. You know, and it was, we were 13 years old, me and my friends, and we started to drink. You know, and that, and beer, we'd steal beer and do stuff like that. And not knowing that this can become a habit or that we can become addicted to it. But in a sense, it became part of our nourishment, our food. Because when we first started, we'd laugh, you know, and we'd feel good, you know, but eventually we'd start to fight and, you know, do stuff that people do when they're intoxicated. Cry or get quiet, you know, and do that kind of stuff. You know, so at that time, when I think about it, there was an identity thing happening with me, too. You know, we all want to belong as human being. We want to feel all right when we're in a group of people, that I'm going to be accepted, even if I'm different. If I'm tall, I'm short, a little overweight or skinny, it doesn't matter, you're still accepted. You know, that that identity where, you know, we want to belong. And if you are the same, people accept you. But we're not all the same. You know, it showed in the sports, you know, we had guys that were, I call them Olympic level athletes, soccer players, basketball players, you know, in a residential school. And they were treated good, which is good. They deserved it, you know. But I remember not all of us were good. And so we didn't feel the same at times. My quest for sameness, you know, is accomplished by doing what other people do. So if they're popping chips or drinking, I'm doing the same, then we're the same. So that became part of what is happening with Sahilthit's life at the time. You know, it started to get muddled up there. You know, I so desperately wanted to belong to a circle, wanted to have that laughter and joy being together as a team or as a group. But in that place, you know, it was hard because, you know, we're fighting each other and there's no bedrooms. We all sleep in the big room, so everybody's in the same room. And on top of that, we're hungry. You know. So once I left there, you know, it was, I remember, you know, because I always wanted to be truthful. In grade 12, there was a woman from the Kamloops First Nation became the cook. And she talked him into giving us good food. We had real milk. We couldn't believe it. We went to the kitchen in the morning. We could have real milk with our cornflakes. And the toaster worked, and we had toast. And we'd have pancakes with syrup. Oh, we thought we're in heaven. You know, and I thank that lady today. I don't know her name. But it eased some of the pain there. I remember at first supper, she came in, we had spaghetti and meatballs. You know, it was such a treat to have that. You know, so I'm glad it changed up there at the end. I just wished it was like that before. But I can wish all I want. It's not going to change it. You know, one of the harsh realities that I start to accept is I must accept reality the way things are today, but don't give up trying to change it. Always go shoot higher. Always to be more accomplished, more successful at helping people, being with people, being part of a circle. Circle is strong depending on how everybody acts in that circle. So if we act like we're one and help and support each other, you know, that circle becomes strong. You know, while I was at the school, my late mother would send us care packages. And I remember the first one I opened, there was homemade cookies in there and dried salmon. And she cut them off the skin and put them in these little bags. And I remember I got greedy. I didn't show the other boys what I had so I can eat it by myself. The second package I got, I felt so guilty doing it the first time. Holy, what did you get? Oh, I got some food. I'll share it with you. Even though I didn't want to. But that was such a blessing to get that food. It was such a good feeling. So while we were there, like I was saying, we got involved in alcohol and as a way of feeling good. And we're the same too, because we're all drinking, you know, like, well, the ones that were. And we'd get somebody in town off the street to buy us a Mickey, chipping all our money. So that's how I started that road, you know, and it, I think that's part of my taking away that food for the soul, for Sahiltit. It definitely wasn't food for my soul, you know, that stuff. Yeah. So I was, you know, putting toxic stuff in my body. You know, not caring so much what I eat. And it was like magic. It was happening. Probably all over the country. We all got introduced to potato chips and pop and chocolate bars. I remember as a child, one of the women at one of our gatherings made homemade potato chips. What are those? Oh, those are potato chips. You know, I seen them in town. So she made some. So we tried it and we said, hey, that's okay. You know, so I think our people were so good at copying, you know, what was going on out there. And would be curious and would do it. You know, and I tell people today when I go to communities that the first addiction, I believe, that happens when we're young, and it's salt and sugar. Because once it hits the tongue and the taste buds, you know, people start craving it. The children, they want potato chips, pop, and candy. And it's not good for the teeth or not good for our body at all. You know, so that's what the road I was on now. French fries, fried food, you know, and gotta admit, a lot of that stuff tasted good, you know. You know, the first time I had an A&W hamburger, me and there was four of us, were walking along the river by the residential school, the Thompson River, and we found this box, probably 4 feet wide and 8 feet long, wooden box, and we put it in the river and it floated. So we found some boards and we paddled across the Thompson River. Because across the Thompson River, there's an A&W. You know, so we landed and we walked across the tracks and we got to A&W's and we had we shared a couple of big burgers, you know, Papa burgers and that nice root beer and fries, you know, and whoa, this is good. Because remember, I was telling you, what's at the residential school? So it sort of felt like soul food, the hamburger. and the French fries and the root beer. So in a way, we sort of got fooled that this is good. It tasted good to us compared to what we're eating. So we hid that boat by the river and we go across every weekend, every Sunday. Then one day we went and someone stole our boat. You know, it wasn't even a boat, you know. So we couldn't go anymore. Yeah, but that's my first introduction to hamburger and fries. And of course, I know that now, you know. So when I was growing up, like I was telling you, there's no processed food. Because a lot of processed food got salt and sugar in it. If it's canned, or if it's dried, or if it's packaged, they preserve it with salt, too, and sugar. Just like we learned how to, you know, to salt salmon sometimes in big crocks to preserve it, along with our wind-dried. There's a lot of salt in there. My mother would soak it in the water for 2 days, keep changing the water to get the salt out of it. But I remember eating it, it was salty, and it was good, because by now I'm addicted to salt, you know, so. You know, because of this diet, I started to lose the strength in my mind and my spirit. You know, my body still had youthful strength. I could work, I could pack salmon, I can do all of that stuff when I go home. As my mind was getting weakened, I feel, by the food. There was something happening, and I didn't even know it. You know, because we come from hunter-gatherer people. You know, they go out and hunt the deer, the moose, the grouse, you know, catch a salmon. You know, and then gatherers are picking the berries, digging the roots, wild potatoes, wild onions. We even eat the cactus. They'd peel all of the sharp things off a cactus and blanch it. My grandmother used to cook that, you know, and that was good food. That makes the body strong, the mind and the spirit strong. You know, because it comes, they think of the strength of a deer. I don't know if you ever gone hunting and what you startled and they run, they're fast. They just disappear, shows you how strong we are. So when we eat that kind of food, we can be strong like that. Or the moose, or even the salmon, and we eat the salmon that comes, the wild salmon. They're so strong and powerful that we take that on and we eat it. Whereas if we eat too much deep-fried foods and sugar foods and salty foods, it weakens our system. You know, because that's where we are today, you know, as a people. You know, I don't like saying this to you. I don't even like to hear myself say it. But the determinants in this country for us as indigenous people show that we're overrepresented in diabetes, for instance. Too many of our people got diabetes. Some, they used to call it the sugar disease. Way back when I was young, they started to first see diabetes amongst our people. You know, and we started to see more cancer, more diabetes, more heart disease, skin problems, you know, unhealthy, not sound in mind, body, and spirit. And I believe a large part of that is our food and what we're drinking, because we need to put that consistently into our body to stay alive. So we're putting toxins in. It becomes part of us, a toxic life. So I can say that today, and it makes sense to me because I went through that. You know, I lived on that kind of a diet. You know, and our hunter-gatherers, I heard the stories from my elder in Khakhlib, saying, yeah, we train men to run deer down by foot. You know, that's a powerful man. Brick is a,